Founding and growing a business that serves the community is a commendable effort. Today on the Financial Operating Base, we speak with Jaden Reisner, U.S. Navy veteran and co-founder and CEO of Family Proud, an application-based advocacy software for patients and supporters to connect, share resources, and more effectively manage the burden of care in uncertain health situations.
Welcome to the Financial Operating Base, a podcast and community to help you, the veteran entrepreneur, to navigate the terrain and accomplish your mission of business success. And joining us today, we have Jaden Reisner, founder of Family Proud. Jaden, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Hey, let's dive right in. Why don't you tell us about your time in the Navy and what led you up to what you're doing now?
Yeah, thanks. Spent 12 years active duty Navy, moved over to the reserves. Myself, helicopter pilot by trade. Spent some time doing carrier deployment, search and rescue, then moved over to the special operations side, so supporting fellow Army guys as well, so any service. Felt really fortunate to be a part of that and got to see some good and bad places of the world.
So what led you to decide to leave active duty? And then what did you do when you left active duty?
Yeah, so for me, initial inspiration for leaving active, for what I'm working on now, one of my deployments, mom had a heart attack. Concept of remote support, being thousands of miles away from home, not knowing how to receive those updates, who's providing the best care, making sure she's being connected to the best resources. And then another deployment or two later, father was diagnosed with cancer. And so really for me coming home and ultimately actually becoming caregiver for my mother about 5 years ago now, was ultimately the main reason. And, for me, and really seeing so many things that amazing things people are doing out there, but ultimately the families are the ones carrying the burden of care. When I transitioned out, went and did my MBA here in San Diego at UC San Diego, was fortunate to meet my co-founder, Clay Truska, who himself was a Marine Corps staff sergeant, was an artillery guy, went into counter intel. When he was in the service, he was diagnosed with cancer, beat it, was diagnosed a second time with terminal cancer, and actually 10th degree of separation, if you will, and he's up from back out east in Georgia, identified a clinical trial that he was eligible for and ultimately saved his life right here in San Diego. And so he committed himself back to patient care, became a healthcare exec at UC San Diego. And so we met through the MBA program. Clay understood the patient aspect. I understood the caregiver aspect. And together, we said, hey, amazing things that are going on, of course, very relevant right now. How do we keep the focus on the family and shift the burden off of them, and founded the company Family Proud.
Very cool. Before we get into the inner workings of Family Proud, talk a little bit about your experience with kind of getting those news updates. Were they Red Cross notifications? Interestingly, my mother passed away while I was on a deployment in Iraq. So it was kind of a very awkward information flow. And in that case, I basically somewhat immediately, as quick as could, get back to the States. Maybe that was the case in your situation, but talk a little bit about that experience. And the reason why I'm asking that is I think that really starts to fuel the founding purpose of what you're doing at Family Proud.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And thanks for sharing as well. Yeah, Red Cross message. So it is a clunky process. And we know, communications is the number one make or break for anything in life, and especially downrange. In terms of the flow itself, the notification, whether you're able to get back right away or not. So staying plugged in, depending on where you're located, what type of connectivity do you have, and who's quarterbacking at home, who's taking the lead to be able to step in, be there for your loved one or your family until you can get home to help facilitate. I was fortunate to have a really close friend, I consider a brother of mine back home, who's able to take that lead and be the one, my go-to, to be able to keep me posted. But really, in terms of like the resources, not really understanding the process, for us when you're active, TRICARE takes care of everything, but you know, outside of that, zero understanding of the actual healthcare and system and insurance and, you know, what do I need to do? And so just being able to navigate that, you know, in terms of the unknowns, of course, were some of the great challenges. And it really, for a care journey from a, whether it's point of diagnosis through hopefully survivorship, or if it's just a, you know, one-off, or if it's a chronic or a lifelong condition, you know, recognizing that they're, most families, you know, it's not relevant until it's relevant. And it can be a life altering situation. You know, think about a stroke family. You become a post-stroke caregiver overnight and now having to deal with all of those burdens. You think about a cancer diagnosis. It's not the first time that a family is going through a cancer diagnosis. So the ability to actually harness and, you know, you think about after action reports and lessons learned, you know, there's a lot of military parallels here of, there's no need to reinvent the wheel. You know, you spend hours on the Google machine and trying to figure things out, but there are a ton of people out there who do want to support, who do want to help facilitate and make it as easy as possible so others don't have to go through the same pain. Whether that's lessons learned from how to navigate that journey, you know, what actually is the best system in your area to go to that's specialized in that care? What are the resources? How to set up things at home? You know, aside from all the medical clinical that the doctors and social workers can share, what about, you know, what do you need to do at home? You know, here's the recommended bedding. Here's, you know, what you need to do to make life easier at home based on that specific condition. And a lot of those are, you know, tie into the out-of-pocket expenses, which is really, you know, one of the areas that we're focused on. But yeah, hopefully that answered the question. So
let's drill down into the business and the platform. So speak to one, what were you replacing in the community or in the marketplace? And, you know, so what were you doing to help, you know, families get things done faster, get it done cheaper, or get it done better? And how you tied that together into the platform. And then we'll follow up with talking about how you get people on the platform.
Yeah, sounds good. I mean, just taking a quick step back, you know, what is Family Proud? It's a family care management software tool. So shifting the burdens that I'm talking about off of the family. So emotionally, in terms of what do? Who do you talk to? Financially, we talk about the problem, which is medical expenses are number one reason families go bankrupt in the United States. Pre-COVID, it's a $4 trillion market. Amount spent in healthcare in the U.S. alone, $350 billion are out-of-pocket expenses that ultimately are crippling these families. And then logistically, you know, who's watching the kids? Who's making dinner, all the logistical impacts that come with now having to manage that care, whatever that situation is. And so the ability, what do we replace? You know, we don't, you know, in terms of replacing, you know, we like to say we're empowering existing community. You know, there's a lot of siloed tools that are out there, whether it's one person quarterbacking a situation, someone perhaps Googling or using a Facebook group to connect to different aspects. You know, GoFundMe is monetary when the family takes the step to ask their immediate community how to support them. And so for us, really, it's this care management tool that helps not only connects them with people who do understand, but empowers them with, you know, here are the things that will help you through this next phase that others have already gone through. So you can take those lessons learned and apply it. And so I think I wouldn't say necessarily replacing, but it's really collaborating a lot of these siloed resource tools and making it innovative by having these recommendation engines powering both those task lists, but also those products and services. So one of the features is care registry. So think wedding registry, but for patients and families. And so now, instead of not knowing what to ask for, you have a very transparent, clear way to provide that support over a long period of time. And what that does is it mitigates what we call compassion fatigue, that a initial ask or raise out of the gate is usually typically strongly supported by your immediate support network because it's someone that you care about, it's the right thing to do. But over time, you have families that this could be going on for years. And when you think about that continual ask, the probability that someone will continue to ask becomes low, and the probability of a donor or a supporter to continue to support is also low. So our ability to close loop that and bridge that gap between the supporter asking, hey, how can I help? And the family, you know, not necessarily asking, not necessarily knowing what they can do to support. So
I think your comment about collaboration among siloed, was very good. I think you know, that's the issue, is to make yourself a central point for people that are in this situation. That said, you know, value of network depends on the number of participants in network. So as you thought about building the network, how did you get folks on both sides to participate?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, absolutely, you know, recognize, especially technology, there's a million apps out there, who cares, or platforms or technologies. And so really channel partners and focusing, and that's where we talk about empowering existing communities and organizations, is partnering with communities and organizations who don't necessarily have a technology. They already have families that are in, you know, need potentially, or are looking to provide a tool to their families within their organization or community, an ability to use them as channel partners and really collaborate. Because at the end of the day, it's a win-win in terms of providing them a technology, empowering their existing families. And so at scale, to be able to grow this, it's absolutely about channel partners. So think, you know, larger partnerships that are able to introduce this with organizations that are very family and culture, have a strong culture around supporting their families.
So you're a pilot in the Navy, and then you have this experience, which gives you sort of this vision, right? Your experience drove what you saw as a problem, which is the classic entrepreneur, seeing a problem and then solving it. And the difference is whether or not someone has the vision and ingenuity and determination to actually do it, which you clearly have all three of. But you weren't a healthcare expert, right? You're a pilot. So how did you go about figuring all those kind of new things out to make it work?
Yeah, no, I'm smiling about that because, you know, it's one of those message of Garcia's, right? Just figure it out, and you know that there's a problem, and go after it and start climbing. You know, really fortunate to have Clay. That's where, you know, we're perfectly balanced, not only as you know, brothers and veterans, but, you know, Clay is a healthcare executive. So he really understands, you know, the landscape of healthcare and how Family Proud can best fit in within the healthcare ecosystem. On top of that, certainly, you know, the first year when we were leaving the MBA program and found, you know, the company had been founded, was just about learning and listening, absorbing, growing, surrounding ourselves with smarter advisors and people within the space. So really fortunate to have San Diego as a great healthcare ecosystem, learning from others. We were fortunate to be accepted into one of the top global digital health accelerators, NextCubed. So that surrounded us with a really strong group of advisors, and we're still, as a portfolio company with them, really fortunate to have their advisorship within the healthcare landscape. And it's funny because dating back, you know, out of the beginning, I signed up for HIMSS, for those, you know, the healthcare information, massive conference that's held every year, typically down in Orlando. And I remember going there by myself. I think there's about 30,000-40,000 people, and it was just, you know, joking with Clay. It was like, yeah, this is like being dropped into the jungle, you know, and figuring it out, right? So, you know, it's a lot of fun experiences to smile back on, but a ton of learning and growing and just absorbing and staying mission focused, knowing that it's actually a unique advantage to actually have an external view of not being a healthcare expert per se. I think it's really important to have an understanding of how we integrate and how we provide impact and identify ways to work into workflows. But the ability to not be siloed into one system's structure or flow allows us to stay focused on the family perspective and truly provide value to the family, but having an understanding of the space.
You have a business that is both technology and social media or social network based. I mean, at the same time, it's focused on healthcare. Two industries that both have privacy concerns. So how did you go about thinking through privacy concerns and taking care of, you know, people in your community? And then, you know, sort of as well as on the actual medical record and other things side.
Yeah, no, great question. So the, you know, in terms of, so right now there's no medical record integration, to be clear. There's no integration with a health system. You know, definitely the potential for that integration in the future, but we're actually see it as a differentiator and advantage to be system agnostic and not connected. Privacy absolutely is the number one concern. And you could actually argue right now is a great time for us to be entering the space, with all these things outlined. And so a lot of companies have to conduct a ton of rework when you think about GDPR in California, specifically CCPA, all these privacy layers, where we can actually, or we have been building the foundation in line with everything correctly out of the gate. And I think, you know, a lot of companies will just run, which is absolutely what we're trying to do, but we also want to make sure we're doing it the right way, not only to the user and the family, but also as a business to protect the business liability wise and mitigate those types of concerns on the security side. So we do have, for example, privacy security experts and advisors on our team that we meet with regularly to make sure the technology and roadmap are lined up appropriately. So although not required, we are taking all those measures, because we do recognize when you talk about the security officers with specific organizations, we need to be able to demonstrate that we do meet all those concerns. And when you talk about the platform itself, everything defaults to the most private for the family. And then based on what the family is open to sharing or open to connecting with others, that is up to them based on what tools they want to use.
So at the time of this recording, we're several months into the COVID-19 pandemic. How has that affected your business in the way you serve these patients and families?
Yeah, no, it's when you talk about helping families in need, arguably there's no greater time of families in need in our generation right now, especially globally. Definitely seen an increase in signups. And you could also argue as a young startup, this is the Super Bowl. And you know, we're a junior college team stepping on the field, and there's really no sideline to stand on, right? Get out there and figure it out and keep growing and adapting. And honestly, at the end of the day, we always point to this. Our North Star is, does this decision ultimately help patients and families in need, does it allow us to help more families? And just keeping all of our decisions and growth focused on that. Certainly it's also being mindful of not being pulled off the focus or the track for COVID necessarily, but at the end of the day, we'll never turn away a family that's looking to help or looking for help. And so, of course, we're going to do everything possible within our network, within the platform's capability to connect them to the right people and resources, as we grow. And I think that's when we talk about no family's need going unmet as a core value to our company. Absolutely seen an increase in need, which is certainly unfortunate. But for us on the market side and the business side, you know, there's certainly, this is a greater opportunity to support families. And so, sadly, the needs of families is actually inverse to the state of the economy and health of a community or society. And so, you never want to say recession proof market, but it's close as you could probably get in terms of, healthcare, and the needs of families will always be there no matter what.
Definitely your core values and your heart are absolutely in the right place, which, can be really rewarding, from knowing that you help people. Do you have any success stories that you want to talk about to give folks an idea of the impact that you've had through Family Proud?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Obviously being sensitive to the privacy aspect there are a number of families that who've used our platform, we certainly have focused personalized attention to supporting their needs through the technology, whether it's helping coordinate their care. You know, we've certainly seen people use Family Proud to coordinate their care, give their loved ones updates so they're not managing, 40 different group texts, assigning tasks. We have a calendar feature that allows people to, we recommend, here's different tasks you can do, sharing those with their support network, having people sign up for those tasks. So there's that clear, transparent way to provide support. And then even with their basic needs, whether it's food cards going to the family to help them pay for food that they may not have been able to afford. And so really, when you see these families, it's a heavy space to be in, right? I mean, what families in need is not a light space to be in. And so when you talk about it being a recommit and service, absolutely is. But seeing the families actually interact on the platform, whether it's the coordination around their care, clear communication, and the ability to offset some of their costs, I think is certainly rewarding.
It's a phenomenal story. And it's really fun to watch what you're doing and kind of hear this backstory. What advice would you give a veteran entrepreneur or aspiring entrepreneur that's either thinking about an idea or embarking on an idea? What advice would you give them based on your experience?
Yeah, where do I begin? But no, really, I mean, it has to be a passion, right? If this was just a good idea, I would have stopped a long time ago. I mean, it's truly a commitment to seeing something through. The analogy Clay and I always use is that, you know, we set off to climb this mountain. Some people in life have the ski lift. You know, we definitely didn't find the ski lift, and we don't have a ski lift. We're humping up the backside of the mountain through the woods. And, you know, we know that there's a goal and we'll keep moving, you know, so it has to be a passion. I mean, the amount of sacrifice involved to anything, and that's in life, as we know, you know, requires that. And so knowing, you know, having a good expectation of knowing what you're getting yourself into, in terms of a commitment to see it through, is, you know, step one. But really, at the end of the day, as we know, everything in life is about relationships and people. And so I always say it's about, you know, having the right people, not necessarily the best people, and the relationships you build. You know, of course, humility, being a great listener, you know, growing. Everyone on our team, you know, and I'm obviously really proud of them, and we have a really special team, is that there are no egos involved and everyone is mission focused. So the ability to grow a team, you know, of course, try not to do it on your own if possible, but surrounding yourself with people who also are committed to the mission and have different skill sets, which is a perfect parallel to the military side, where there are different subject matter experts and people have different roles, and yourself as a leader creating a space for them to succeed and stay mission focused. And I think, you know, surrounding yourself with the right people, growing and listening, and, you know, certainly staying humble, but, you know, recognizing that it has to be a passion, and, you know, certainly being open to that growth.
And even though, you know, we all bring passion to what we do, sometimes it's hard to keep that personal motivation up. Do you have any type of leadership quote or saying or something you've read that's inspired you to keep going through tough times?
You know, I think the quote aspect, you know, really comes back down to the people. But for me, I think it's, you know, and a lot of people will use this as well, but, you know, if not me, then who? I think we look at that in a lot of ways in life right now, and generationally, you know, I was impacted by some of these burdens at a younger age. So have the, you know, energy and drive to do something about it. A lot of people see these burdens a little bit later in their life. And so, you know, I feel fortunate to have the opportunity to run at this. And, you know, I think in terms of the, you know, the personal commitment, it's also, you know, it goes back to when you talk about service, this is something much greater than all of us. And when you have families that we're supporting saying like, hey, you can't stop, like, this is a much needed thing. You know, that's enough right there. You know, of course there's the personal motivation, but when you're talking to families going through things that are unimaginable and would never, you know, it's just really heavy, and they're asking you, you know, you have to keep going, and they're the ones, you know, supporting you as well. That in itself, when you talk about that, there is a huge need, right, across a lot of different areas. If not me, then who? And this goes into the partnership aspect where, you know, I encourage collaboration. You know, there's, you know, at the end of the day, if we can be stronger together, then to ultimately meet the end state, then I'm all about it.
Jaden, it's been a great conversation. Certainly, I would expect folks listening to want to reach out and either pick your brain on your experiences or learn more about Family Proud. So how can folks reach out to you?
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Directly to myself, my email, Jaden, Jaden, @familyproud.com. And obviously, welcome to visit our site, which is just www.familyproud.com. And, you know, both if there's families in need, they can go directly to the site, sign up to receive support. For those who are looking to support, you can also, there's a way to provide support even without signing up for the platform. You can actually send a care package essentially to families in need, and we'll facilitate that directly to families in need that we're supporting.
Thanks for your time, and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for your time as well. Appreciate it.
And we leave you today with a quote from Charles Dickens. No one is useless in the world who lightens the burdens of another.
Thanks for joining us on the Financial Operating Base podcast. We'd love to hear from you, so send us your questions or feedback to financialoperatingbase@gmail.com.